make a mistake and blow it when he was out walking on the water. You know, but was that the end of Peter's ministry? Was God done with him? No, he wasn't done with him. And then if that wasn't bad enough, then later on, Peter denies the Lord three times. And I'm quite certain that the enemy used that verse of Scripture. You know the enemy will use Scripture. He did on Jesus. But you know that verse of Scripture where it says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father? I'll bet you anything that was getting run through Peter's brain after he had denied the Lord three times. But I love God and how good God is. When after Jesus has been risen, the angel gets sent and it says, the angel says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Why does he specifically say and Peter? Because he knew what Peter was going through. He knew the battle he was in the middle of. And he still had plans for him. I've messed up. I've blown it since I've been a Christian. You know what? He's never been done with me. He's never given up on me. I think of King David. Adultery. And then murder. And then God sends a prophet to him. And the prophet shares his story about a guy that has one and the leader that has all. And he asks Daniel, what should be done? He says, that man should be killed. The prophet goes, that's you. And he knows, uh-oh. And he, you know, that's the beginning of a change. But I love what the prophet said to him. God has given you this, 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 and this. And if that had been too little, he would have given you much more. The greatness of God, the bigness of God, the goodness of God. Man, we got stuff to walk in. We got stuff we get to do, amen? Turn and look at somebody and say, I get to. We got any Moseses in here? And I'll explain this as we go along. We got any Moseses in here? What do I mean by Moseses? People full of a bunch of excuses. Why not? I stutter. I do this. I do that. Da 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 da. We got anybody in? Nobody wants to raise their hand on that one. We won't make you raise your hand on that one. But I tell you what, there's a lot of Moseses in the body of Christ. Thank God Moses got over it. Amen. You think Moses has got any regrets today? He might have one when he didn't honor God and do what he said. But for that reason, he didn't get to go into the promised land. But do you think he regrets saying yes to God? I don't think so. Amen. So take all your excuses. Take all your justifications for why not. And just pitch them. Amen. God's not done with you. Did you know we had a lady at Rhema? She was 87 years old when she graduated. I just thought that was so cool. In our class, 87, graduated. Planned on traveling and minister to people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn and look at somebody and say, God ain't done with you yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, well, I might have to pull all these bookmarks out of my Bible and turn somewhere else. Let me just because what's happening, let me just go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, right now I've got so many ways that I could go, so many things I could do. I could look at my notes and the stuff that I have that's for today, that I put together for today. Or Father, we could tweak this, adjust it. We could go in a different way. So I just thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. Leads and guides us and shows us. Shows us. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read these verses of Scripture and just share a few thoughts with you about how important you are. How much you matter to God. A couple of Sundays ago, I shared this, and I hadn't for a long time, but I shared this thought. You're unique. There is nobody else on this earth exactly like you. Somebody goes, praise God. Oh. But there's nobody else. What that means is that there's nobody else can talk to God like you can. Nobody else can have the relationship with God that you can. And even, you know, he's God, yet you've got something to give him that nobody else can. He can't get that anywhere else. Only you. Only you can have that friendship with him. Only you can have that relationship with him. He can't get it anywhere else. It's not like a car dealership where you go shopping. And, well, I like that car. I can go get one just like it somewhere else. No, he can't get it anywhere else. And you know what? He wants that relationship with you. He wants to walk with you in the cool of the day. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to hear what you have to say because nobody else can say it like you do. I don't know about you, but to me, that's cool. To me, that means something to me. I just grab a hold of that and go, praise you, God. Thank you, God. I do matter to you. I do make a difference to you. Amen. And that is true for each and every one of us. But one of the things I know that happens to people is people get told that they don't matter. The enemy will try to all kinds of crazy things. But we do matter. We do matter. So did you get your Bible open to the book of Ephesians chapter 4? I know I said Ephesians. I don't know if I said chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 4. I'm going to start at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. Can I ask you a question? Who are the saints? Who are the saints? Aren't the saints those that have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and got born again? Amen. For the equipping of the saints. Do you know that little truth right there is huge and not believed in all parts of the body of Christ? Come on now. Talk to me. You know, let's communicate. Did you know that there are a lot of people who are Christians who go to church and they don't believe they're a saint? Now, I would agree with them that often they don't act like saints. I would agree with that. And I would also agree with this. Often they maybe don't feel like saints. But what does the scripture say? For the equipping of the saints. Why don't you turn and look at somebody and say, you are a saint. Okay, now try this one. Turn and look at somebody and really, really mean it and say, I am a saint. Anybody wrestling with that one a little bit more? It's easier to look at someone else and say, you are a saint. But boy, to say that I am myself, I am a saint. Boy, that becomes a wrestling match. That becomes hard. But yet the scripture says, for the equipping of the saints. I would challenge you on your iPhone or your iPad or Google or whatever you might have, or get out a Strong's Concordance if you got one of those. Just go look up the word saint and find all the places in the Bible where the word saint is mentioned in reference to you as a saint. Because guys, and if we grab a hold of that truth, we are the children of God. We are saints. We got some growing to do. And you think about it. If you're not a saint, or if Christians aren't saints, then who's the equipping for? And he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. You know, some places people think, well, after you die, you get voted into sainthood. I'm supposed to be equipping dead people? I don't think so. No. For the equipping of the saints. Now watch this. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Everybody say work of the ministry. So all the saints have a work of the ministry to do. Amen. Amen. Do you know every one of us in here has a ministry? Every one of us has a ministry. That's why I said earlier, more ministry gets done outside the four walls of the church than inside. Amen. Why? By the saints. By the saints. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I love this verse of scripture. How many of you saints would like to know part of your job description? We just read it. For the edifying of the body of Christ. I think that's huge. Okay, how many of you find yourselves getting beat down by circumstances, by individuals, by all kinds of things? It just try to beat you down. Anybody ever feel anything trying to beat you down? Ever feel anything trying to oppress you, trying to chain you? Can I have a show of hands, please? Do you ever feel that? And maybe you don't feel it all the time. I'm not saying you feel it all the time. But you know what? It's out there. And that's why the edifying of the body of Christ by the saints is so important. I'd like to say this. I would like to say I could live the rest of my Christian walk and never need anybody to give me a word of encouragement. I'd like to say that I would be able to do that. But you know what I also know? I love words of encouragement. Anybody else? Somebody come up to you and they give you a word of encouragement. They just build you up. They just say something about you that is true. And yet you maybe feel like denying it, but yet it's true. Go ahead and receive it. There's a verse of scripture in Hosea that says this: my people are destroyed for knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's huge, lack of knowledge. But the next part is even bigger. Because they reject knowledge. Man, you got somebody who comes up to you. You got a preacher who tells you that you are valuable and precious. You are the righteousness of God. You are a saint. Be really careful about rejecting that. Because you know what? Then truth is being rejected. And God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not because the knowledge doesn't get to them. It's because they reject it when it does get to them. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and have an open ear and an open heart to the things that God might say to me, even when my feelings and all kinds of circumstances and people around me might say otherwise. Amen. So how about we do this again? I am a saint. How about even louder? I'm a saint. Amen. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. Come on, sing with me, would you all, please? I'm a saint. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let the devil know that the next time he starts to tell you what you are. I heard a good quote. It went something like this. Why would you take criticism from somebody you wouldn't go to for advice? Think about that. How many times do people take criticism from somebody that they wouldn't actually go to for advice? How many of you would go to Satan for advice? Nope. Why do we take criticism from him? I wouldn't. No, I like that. I'm not going to take criticism from him. I am who God says I am. All right. Verse 13. It's amazing how important you are. I can have some fun here, but it's amazing how important you are. If you look at these verses of Scripture, it's amazing how important you are, how much you matter. And he gave him some to be self, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the enemy. Hey, can we delete that, Jenny? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch this. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we all come to what? The unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. There's knowledge. Man, if we reject knowledge, till we all come to the unity. Coming to the unity of the faith is going to require all of us having knowledge and sharing that with one another. Let me keep reading. till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. If we're going to come to the fullness of the unity, to the perfect man, to the fullness of the stature in Christ, you know what's required? Each and every one of us doing our part. Each and every one of us saying, yes, 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 I will, and yes, I can. Amen? All right, to the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. How many of you would love to see the body of Christ no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine? How many of you would like to see the body of Christ where everybody grows up to the fullness of who we are in Christ? And guess what? That doesn't happen apart from you. Are you seeing how involved you are in this here? Oh, my Bible keeps falling away from Hebrews. Hebrews, well, that's good because I'm in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, come back here. Hallelujah. I'm going to wind this thing down here real quick. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. What's your job description again? I don't want to miss this, and I'm almost missing this point. Yeah, your job description, part of your job description is found in the last part of verse 12. For the edifying of the body of Christ, you speaking words of life to people, you speaking words of truth, you speaking words of knowledge to people. Amen? Okay? Somebody say, I can do that. How many of you can do that? How many of you can speak words of truth and words of life, and you can speak scripture to people around you? How many of you can do that? Can we all do that? Okay. Till we all come to the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. It doesn't happen apart from you. Did you know it's not all up to the preacher? Did you know it's not all up to the fivefold ministry? I mean, I have my job, and ministers have their part. Saints have their part. Saints have their job, encouraging people. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It might seem like a small thing to you, but wow, I still remember it 30-some years later. Preached a sermon down in Rushville, and it wasn't popular. It didn't go along with the popular thing of the day. In fact, it brought correction to a very popular truth that was going around in the body of Christ. Brought correction, and there were people in the church that didn't like that correction because they loved the wow teaching of the moment of the day. Did you know all teaching that goes on is not of God? You know, part of what was in this teaching was people were renting airplanes and flying through the air so they could do warfare with principalities and the spirits in heavenly places. They would rent out like the 60th floor of a skyscraper so they could be up there and they could do warfare. I wonder what Jesus did. Where was his plane? Where was his skyscraper? I mean, it just got silly. So anyway, I teach and teach truth and stuff. And then I did that Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, I went up to Kyle and I taught the same message there. And then it's Monday and I'm in my office praying. And I like to turn out all the lights and pray because I get so distracted by stuff I need where I can't see anything. So that's just me. And I get a phone call. And a lady from the church in Rushville, she calls me and she lets me have it. Well, she was one who didn't like the teaching, and she just let me have it. I mean, took her about a minute. She was done. Thank you. Bye. Click. Phone. I get back to where I'm going to pray, and I just got done listening to that, and the phone rings again. Wonder if I want to answer it. But anyway, I answer it, and it's a lady from Kyle. And she just said, Pastor, I can't thank you enough for your ministry. I thank you last night for what you shared and the truth that you shared with us about what the Bible says. And then she just gives me this huge, you know. She had no idea the phone call I had just got done saying, you know, hanging up to. You know, just got done having. It was absolutely huge. Does that seem like a big deal? To just call someone up and give them a word? How many of you can do that? Just a word of encouragement. You might not know what they're going through. But the value of you, what you bring to the body of Christ, what you bring to church every Sunday, what you bring to the community, what you bring to people in this world, it's valuable even though it doesn't look big, even though it doesn't look that impressive. It is valuable. That we should no longer... I tell you what, the more we encourage each other and edify each other in the truth, the less we will be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men. Now watch this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. Now, are we not reading about your ministry right now? Pastor. We're reading about my ministry right now. Everybody go ahead and say, this is a description of my ministry right now. Come on, say that. This is a description of my ministry right now. So what's a description of your ministry? Speaking the truth in love. Edifying the people around you. And what does it do? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. May grow up. May grow up. May grow up. I was visiting. Yeah, we were visiting earlier about being from a big family and having a, you know, in my family there were 10 of us. How many of you think my brothers and sisters on occasion maybe gave me some advice to help me grow up? Anybody else in here have a brother or sister give you a little advice in the... Yeah. You know what? And I'd do well to take it. Amen. How many of you had somebody try to offer you advice once upon a time, but you wouldn't take it? Only to regret it. Do you think it's always easy for someone to walk up to you and give you some advice that maybe you don't want to hear? It's not easy. And I've always found it interesting. If somebody's willing to take that risk... If somebody's willing to step out and say, hey, I got something I want to share with you. Understand that that might be one of the biggest challenges they're facing right now. Roland said something one time to me. Well, he said it to a group of guys, and it was just really good. The conversation you need to have is the one you don't want to have. Man. So if somebody's going to come to you and have a conversation with you that they really don't want to have, but it's full of truth and it's full of the love of God, take it in. Amen? Take it in. And what does it do? It causes growth. It causes us to grow up. Amen? Hallelujah. Quit. But speaking the truth in love, we may all grow up into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Somebody say every joint. What every joint supplies according to the effective working. Say effective working. Effective working. What kind of worker do you want to be? Sloppy? That'll do. Just good enough? I don't. I want to be a good worker. I want to do a good job. By which every part... From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every part joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Can I just say this? Do your share. Okay, and then here's another good truth. Don't do my share. How about this? I won't do your share if you don't do my share. Amen? But how many times do we want to do somebody else's share? Because we know how they should do it better. Amen? But how about when someone comes to you and they know how to do your share better? Oh, man, just I'm going to do my share. And I thank God that we're all different by design. We're all different by design. It's not all supposed to get done how I would do it. Praise God. You know how boring the world would be? we're all unique. I love that verse of Scripture. Having then gifts differing according to the grace of God. One of the things I'm looking forward to seeing in the body of Christ is allowing people to be different and still be apart. And I don't mean a part, I mean a part. You know, still connected, and yet we're different. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. From whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working. Okay, so what's part of your effective working? Words of life. Words of hope. Words of encouragement. Words of truth. Amen. Roland asked me a question. We had breakfast the other day, and he asked me a question, and he said, Pastor, I hadn't thought about it much, and you don't talk about it much, but with the videos and then talking a little bit about the new building and all that's going on, what's your vision? What's your vision for the church? And Roland, how much did I talk about stuff? What did I talk about? I can guarantee you, folks, that building, that land, is just a tool. It's all it is. It's just a tool. You want to know where the wealth of our church is? Right here. I can guarantee you, my dream, my heart, my vision for the church is people. People. People grabbing a hold of what we're talking about right here and just applying it, just doing it. And you'll be shocked. It's just so fun. It doesn't have to be big and grand and all that stuff. Just do your part. Do my part. That's all I got to do. Wow. I got so blessed. Stories. Not too many stories, Joel. Okay, I promise. I promise you all I won't do too many stories. But people are so important. And so is it a big deal to move back to Custer? You know, how hard is it to move back to your own hometown? I grew up here in Custer, was gone for 2 years at Rhema, gone to Rushville for 4 years, and then God put it in our heart to move back here. Now, did I have to go past some naysayers? Yeah. But honestly, coming back here and picking up a chainsaw and making some money and logging and stuff like that, you know, like that was all stuff I did. None of that was new. And then we started the church. And my niece, Laressa, got engaged. About 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago on a Friday night, we did a dinner at our house for all cousins and nieces and nephews and all that and everything. And about 30 people there. And it was really, really fun. But one of the things that happened about moving back here to Custer is shortly after the church got started, my sister Yadviga, who was going through a divorce, came to church. And she came to the altar. She said yes to Jesus. And she was squeezing my hand so tight as we were praying. I knew what she was saying. Because how would you like to be a lady with 5 children? I think they were probably all under the age of 6. Twins in there. And you're going through a divorce. Pretty scary moment in life. And she's squeezing my hand. And what I got out of that squeezing was, Joel, this has got to work. Because if this doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. Her children, are very close in age and became super close friends. Her 5 children today all love the Lord. And I had a couple of my nieces just say thank you for moving back to Custer and doing what I do. And it's not that big, you guys. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Sometimes the little things that we blow off too easily are actually huge in the realm of the Spirit. They're huge in the things that God does. Amen? And do you know what? You can. Turn and look at someone and say, I can. I can. I can speak words of life. I can speak words of edification. I can love people. I can build people up. I can encourage people. And you'll be shocked. As the years roll by, if I had any idea that moving back to Custer would have led my sister to the Lord and her 5 children, and now their spouses, and now watching their children grow up in the things of God. It's amazing. Praise God. And you know what? You can. And you know, let me say this, you are. I know that's true. It's not like people aren't. You are. But keep doing it, amen? And go ahead and increase it. Increase it. Increase it. Glory to God. And don't let people throw you out. My sister Ann, I love this. I'm going to close with this. At her funeral, this was read. There's this fellow, and he found a... And for those of you that don't know my sister Ann wasn't a model. My sister Ann wasn't what the world said was the perfect shape of a lady. Okay? My sister Ann was big. She had broke her hip when she was little. And as a result of that, she just gained a lot of weight. I didn't find out till later on that she lived most of her life in pain because of that hip. Every step there was pain. I didn't realize that growing up. It wasn't until Vega shared with me. But anyway, so she was heavy set and not what the world says you're supposed to be. How many of you know the world is often wrong? That's funny. Wow. So I'm not going to take advice from the world. But at her funeral, she was just saying thank you to people. Just saying thank you for people for accepting her. And just welcoming her into their lives. That's what was being said. And through this poem it was being done, or through this little story, and there was this individual who found a sack, and that sack was full of clay balls. How many of you ever made those when you were little? You were a kid, and you just found that mud, and it was the perfect consistency, and you just sit there, and you roll them little up in your hands, and you just make a bunch of them. Well, this guy found a sack in a cave along the ocean. And so he pulls that sack out. And it's just, I don't know how many in there. There's just a bunch. It's just full of these clay balls. And he, tossing them out into the ocean. Tossing them out into the ocean. Just pitching them. And pretty soon one of those clay balls fell. It landed on a rock. And it broke open. There was a diamond in it. Size got big. He starts breaking open more. Every one of them's got a precious gem in it. Every one of them's got a diamond in it. You thought about all the ones that he threw away. You know what? Sometimes we might not feel like we look the part. But can I tell you something? Every one of you in here is a diamond, is a jewel. Every one of you. And people who can't see it are just blind. Amen. This pastor in Kansas years ago, we went down to James Robertson Days of Restoration, and my last name is Zulkowski, first name Joel. You know what his nickname for me was? I'd only been saved for about a year. You know what his nickname was? Jewel in the Roughski. I thought it was pretty appropriate, you know, because I'm sure I was pretty rough. I had a lot of zeal. I had a lot of excitement. But, yeah, Jewel in the Roughski. Amen. Sometimes we might feel that way, but you know what? You are a jewel. You are a jewel, and you have a ministry. And people are doing it, and we're going to keep doing it. Amen? We're going to even increase it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Please do not forget about fellowship downstairs afterwards. I know there's a whole bunch of goodies because I had a little bit to do with helping that, and we got people that are going down there to get the coffee and stuff going and all of that. But there's something we do every Sunday when we have church. We've been doing it for years, and we're going to keep doing it. And that is, we give people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if they haven't. Now, you know, the thought is, most people who come to church, they're born again. They've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But perhaps there's somebody in this building today, and you've not said yes to Jesus. You just haven't said yes to him yet. You've heard about him. You believe in him. You know, you know about him. You've had people talk about him. But you've never personally met him. You've never said yes, Jesus. And I just like this little simple thing, the ABCs of faith. One, admit, I messed up. How many in here can do that? How many of you can raise your hand and say, oh, yeah, I've blown it. Yeah, I've messed up. Yeah, I've sinned. Okay, keep your hands up for a while. I want everybody to look around. that's all of us in here. We've admitted. I've blown it. I've messed up. Amen. Admit to or be believe. Believe Jesus died for you. Believe that he died on the cross. Believe that God raised him from the dead. And then the third one is simply see. Confess Jesus as your Lord. Aren't you glad you don't have to confess all your sins? That's not what that verse of Scripture tells it to. It doesn't tell us to confess all our sins. It says confess Jesus as our Lord. You know what? I committed so many sins, I can't remember them all. Anybody else in that group? Uh-huh, yeah. But we don't have to confess all our sins. We just confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you're in this building today and you've never done that, you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you to come on up here. And Brian and Marge and other members of the prayer team and folks, if you guys would come on up, and we just get Ryan and Steph and we just get ready to pray for people. We always give people a chance to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we always do this. If you need healing in your body, if you need somebody to stand with you and give you, you know, pray for you to have wisdom and direction in something, these folks up here love to pray. Jackie and Roland, do you guys want to come up? I like it when you do. Nope. Okay, Jackie says she's not going to. Roland says, I will. Yeah, I understand, Jackie. I know what you're doing. So, amen. Hallelujah. But I'm just going to say a closing prayer. If you want to come up here and have someone pray with you and meet Jesus, then please come on up. You need healing in your body? Then please come on up. You need someone to just pray with you about a decision you have to make or direction? Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Let these guys pray for you, because God does miracles up here. People get healed. People get born again. People get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the word that you brought us. And I'm not referring primarily to the one I shared. But I just thank you, God, that we are a light and we are life. Thank you, Father, that we get to continue to do that. We get to continue to be that light, share that life, give that. And Father, as we bring this service to an end, if there is anyone in this building and they've never said yes to Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, along with your goodness, you would just reveal to their hearts who Jesus is, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. And just reveal to them how much you love them, Father, and they would just find themselves coming up and saying, yes, I want Jesus. And then, Father, anybody in this room that needs healing in their body, wants someone to pray with them, they know that they've got something in their life that is binding them, and they'd like to have that brought to an end and walk in freedom, that they can come up here. And they can receive. So, Father, thank you for this time of ministry right now, where folks get ministered to one-on-one, individually, by saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, you want to come on up to the altar? Come on up. You're going to slip out and go on your way? Go on your way. But be blessed. Amen.